I want to talk about hearing from God. Hearing from God. Everybody would love to hear from God. We need to learn how to hear from God. Prepare ourselves to hear from God. People say, well, I sure would love if God would speak to me. Somebody said, read your Bible. And the answer would be, no, I mean like really speak to me out loud. Well, read your Bible out loud. We got to start with the Bible. So we'll get to hearing God's voice and the inward witness of the Spirit. But listen, you have to start this whole process with the Word of God. Because He did say all of these things to you. All of these things on the pages here are to people of God. And if you don't care about the things He said that were printed, why would you care about the things He says to you personally? The problem is people get very selfish and think, oh, no, I want it to be very special and only for me. No, first you have to care about the other 1,000 things in the Bible said to you. Because the Bible is God speaking to you. So have you heard what He said already? Actually, reading the Bible helps you develop your spiritual ears. And if you don't read your Bible and you don't know what's in here, you will not hear from God. It will be impossible to hear from God, with maybe one exception in the whole wide world, and it ain't you. Or we could say it this way, that in your life, most of what you're going to have to build upon is the Word of God. And if you're not interested in that, you won't hear all the specific direction that you need in life. So the Word of God always comes first, or it proves you don't really care about hearing from God. So how many of you want to read the Bible more this year? How many of you already have a Bible reading plan for the year? Go ahead and do it this time. Go ahead and get your Bible reading plan. It'll prepare you. It'll tell you what to read every day. And after about 7 days, you'll probably like it. After about 21 days, you can't live without it. So, we got to get to the place where we can walk away saying, I heard from God. I heard from God. Once you can say that to yourself, there's no stopping you. You've been green-lighted for the next year. You've been green-lighted for life. Some of you need some real direction. Some of you need to know some things right now. Some of you need some confirmation about things. I don't know where you're at for this year, but the bottom line is, for the rest of your life, you're going to have to know how to hear from God. We all go through seasons where we're desperate to hear. Then we go through daily life where it'd be nice to hear. Just to know that God's with you. Well, He is with you. And that's one reason we read the Bible daily, is because it's Him speaking to me daily. He reminds me of things daily. I get direction daily. I know how to live today at work daily. I know how to change my attitude daily. You know, listen, the Bible is not just a learning book. It's a living book. It's living. The Bible is living. The Word of God is living, alive, and powerful. And it gets into your soul and your spirit and separates the two and arranges your mind properly. Okay, so it's a living book, not just a learning book. So you can't just be a Christian for a long time and say, well, I've already learned the Bible. I don't like to read it much. I've already learned it all. It's not about learning it. It's a living book. It's living words from God to man. And you have to feed on it. Jesus said you must feed on it. That no one can live just by eating food, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So first is you're going to have to develop a taste and an appetite for God's Word for the rest of your life. Everything starts with the Word of God. As you learn it, all of a sudden, you develop a spiritual ear. And we hope you develop two. We did a message a long time ago that said, how to listen with both ears. Because some Christians even, only want to listen with the one ear that excites them. The other ear that is more instructional or correctional, they don't want to listen with. They want to listen to the benefit side, but not the condition side. And so you need two ears to hear what God's saying, because he is saying it to you. Or we can say it this way, people with one ear will hear a sermon and they'll look at their neighbor saying, that was for you. I know it was for you. You know, you got spouses nudging each other. That's because you only have one ear. Get your second ear and you'll realize it was for you. Jesus, remember he said that. He said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. What's he mean by that? Well, everybody's hearing. No, he's saying, listen, I'm going to say some things and you're going to have some spiritual ears to hear this. And if you don't have spiritual ears to hear it, fine, let it fly over you for one service. But at some point, you need to develop your spiritual ears so it'll make change in your life. It'll do something for you. It'll feed you. So we trust that you have ears to hear. And if you don't develop ears to hear in the sermons and the teachings and the Bible reading and your personal time with God like that, then you won't be able to hear in your spirit. If you don't develop your spiritual ears, you won't hear him. So there's an aspect of you reading a page and saying, okay, I'm going to put myself in this page. You know, you have to bare your soul when you read the Bible. You can't read the Bible and just, you know, toss it off as, well, it doesn't mean anything to me, you know, but I have bigger problems. Well, no, he's got bigger answers. But it's always going to go down into the very grassroots of your life. So you're going to have to bare your soul when you read the Bible. It's got to mean something to you. You know, there's this word called that you learn if you went to Bible seminary or something, called exegesis, which is the interpretation, the critical interpretation of Scripture, to find out what it means. It means to draw out. There, the opposite of it is eisegesis, which means to draw in. So we need to be drawing out the right interpretation, not putting in what we think it means that just impacts our life. So the Bible actually is to be interpreted properly. And it has different meaning. I mean, it has a literal meaning. It has a historical meaning. It has an interpretational meaning, a revelational meaning. But we need to get the Bible, off of that pedestal in the hallway of many homes and get it into our heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, praise God. All right, so we're in Hebrews. Okay, we'll read it in a minute. Let me mention some wrong ways to hear from God. We'll address this lightly right now. Wrong way to hear from God is a message a minute. You ever met somebody that had a message a minute from God? God told me this, God told me that. 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 It's like, golly, man, you must be having a real conversation with God. No, they're just highly imaginative is what they are. So in relationship, sure, you want to have a conscience of God all the time and a comfort and a peace from God all the time, but he's not going to be doing that, you know, machine gun approach to your life. It's like once you've grown up in life, you know, you don't tell your adult kids everything to do every single day. God told me to go to work. God told me to take a pen. I asked him what the pen was for, and he said, well, just wait, I'll show you what the pen's for. And then all day long, you're trying to make God do all sorts of stuff for you all day long, trying to make it important for you. Be careful of that. Be careful. It'll nail about 1 in 10 people who finally learn how to hear from God. Now they're going to overdo it. So be careful of that. It's not message a minute. The other one is the point and shoot way to hear from God, which is, God, I need you right now. Oh, I'm in the margin. What if it landed on chapter 11? Come on, you can get it. You can get it. Or the picking numbers to mean something to you. Dates or your birth, pick your birth date and go find it in the Bible, and that's your life scripture, that's your journey, that's your No, that's not how it works. Or the, you know, every time I see a penny, God's speaking to me, so I pick it up. Those are very weak, okay? Now, has God ever spoken to anybody in the whole wide world through a penny? Maybe, I don't know. But let's not turn that into a method. So be careful of trying to force something to happen coincidentally so that you can feel like it's from God, or not. Well, I've seen 11 pennies today. What does that mean, God? What does 11 mean for me today? What does 11 mean for me today? Well, it means nothing. It means that somebody was a little loose with their change is what it means. So we have to be careful as Christians not to get flaky and hyper spiritual about everything. We need to be hyper scriptural about everything. Solidly scriptural, even if it's hyper, it's okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, so number one on how to hear from God is your heart needs to be close to God. Your heart needs to be close to God. Remember Jesus said this, he said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Remember that? He called them hypocrites, but he said, they're saying things and they're looking like stuff on the outside, but their heart's far from me. They seem to go along with the Christians, but their heart's far from me. So I just want to challenge us all, make sure that's not us. Make sure that's not you. We can't just go through Christian motions. Your heart needs to be real close to him. Right. Now, there's a whole couple hours we could talk about it, but your heart has to be close to God in order to hear, or you won't hear. Psalm 73 said this, but it's good for me to draw near to God. It's good for me to draw near to God. So we have to draw near to God. One scripture says, where your treasure is, there is your heart. So your heart won't be near God if your treasure's not near God. So what do you treasure, and is it close to God? Think about it. What do you treasure in this life, and is it close to God? What do you treasure? Think about it. Top two items, top three items. What do you treasure in this life? Are they close to God? Children, how about that? Are your children, have you devoted your children to God? But how do you do that? Why don't you bring them to church? Why don't you make sure they're getting the Bible in their life? Why don't your bedtime stories include Bible stuff? How about a little kid book, and how about a little Bible reading before bed? Have you put your kids close to God? Because there's your heart. Or are your kids close to the little league field?
Come on.
Or wait, how much time little league field, how much time God? I think it's a big deal, isn't it? Well, it's a big deal whether you think so or not. How about your money? Is your money close to God? Is your money headed that direction? If your money's headed that direction, your heart's headed that direction. How about your job? Have you found a way for your job and you to mesh with God? Are you doing it in the name of the Lord? Do all you do, all the work you do, do it unto the Lord. Have you done that yet? Right. See how everything in your life really needs to be close to the Lord, and then we can say your heart's near him. Whatever you treasure, there's your heart. Praise the Lord. All right, so, you know, we make time for what we value. This is how you can analyze your own life. We make time for what we value. Is your heart toward the Lord? Is your heart close to him? Have you made time to be there with him? Have you made time to read the Bible? Have you made time to pray? Have you made time to wait on the Lord? Be still and know that I'm Lord. It's going over real big on this very first service of the whole year. Everybody's wanting a whole new year. Well, this is how you get a whole new year. Hopefully, your last year wasn't so bad for you because you stayed tight with God. The natural had all sorts of troubles. But who cares? In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but we're tied with the Lord, so last year wasn't so bad after all. Because good or bad is not determined by how the outside turned out. It's how the inside stayed solid. You know, Paul got shipwrecked several times. So what? He's still singing in prison. Okay, are we in Hebrews yet? Would you please read the scripture? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, I wanted you to read that because that's where you come close to him. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So you're going to hear from God. You're going to have to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So to get close to God and hear from him, you got to draw near, but you got to do it in faith. So a large percentage of Christians would think to themselves, I have a hard time hearing. A large percentage of Christians would think, you know, I don't really have confidence he'll talk to me. A large percentage of Christians would think, I'm really probably not all that great enough to hear from him. Like he'd rather talk to other people, like on the front row, than me. No, everybody's in the same bucket.
Amen. That's right.
Our status is really all in the same bucket.
That's right.
It's just that those who hear from him a lot are those that know how to draw near in faith.
Right.
But everybody can draw near in faith.
Right.
Every single one of us can hear from God. And so you have to draw near in full assurance of faith. Then it says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. So you can't feel bad about yourself all the time and still hear from God.
Right.
You can't feel like a guilty, rotten sinner all the time and still hear from God.
That's right.
And so you either have to not sin anymore. That'd be good. Is that on your list of New Year's resolutions? Or have a lot of faith in the blood of Jesus. Draw near to the Lord by the blood of Jesus. We enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. The only way you get to come close to God is by the blood of Jesus. So stop sinning and then come close by the blood, even if you did. You got to draw near to him. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, this is a good passage, but it's kind of a scary passage. Verse 2, I want to throw this in here so that you can have some confidence that God wants you to come talk to him and ask him for stuff. James 4, verse 2, you lust and don't have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Okay, so he's almost putting down people that won't ask him. Sure, the lusting part is bad and the murder and coveting is bad, but he's saying, hey, look, you don't have because you didn't ask. Again, a lot of people won't ask because they don't feel worthy. Well, we're here to tell you that you're worthy. If you're in Christ, you're worthy. Not because of who you are, but because who he is. So you come. That's why Jesus said, anything you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Don't just go on your own accord. Go in the name of Jesus. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Well, that's what I was going to ask him for, is more pleasure. Well, why don't you pull back a little bit and ask him for something else first? Adulterers and adulteresses. Now, he's not talking about physical. He's talking about the next part of Scripture. He says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy with God, an enemy of God. So what he's saying is, if you're a friend of the world and of God, you're an adulterer, like you're cheating on God.
Right.
Now, you've heard me say this before, but that's what this passage is talking about. It's talking about don't cheat on God.
Amen.
Don't be a friend of the world and try to be in the kingdom.
Right.
You can't, you're not a friend of the world. I got news for you. The world does not like you. They're never going to like you. I just want everybody to like me. Not the world. The world's not going to like you. You're not a friend of this world.
Right.
We're enemies with this world. So this is one of the ways to recognize, oh, I need to draw near to God. So yes, I've been a little too friendly with the world. My heart's been beating that direction a little too much. So you have to pull that back and go toward God, or you won't hear from him. If you're too into the things of the world, the pleasures, the riches, all of the lust of other things, then you won't hear from God.
Right. Right.
And that's why we're going to fast for 2 days. Make sure you get the world out.
Yes.
Hey, if you don't eat, your body's not going to want to go to the carnival. Not that that's bad in itself. It's just, it's part of the pleasure and leisure of life that you can have some of, but you have to be very careful of.
Right.
Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? So God, you know, he feels it. When you're double-hearted, he feels it. But he gives more grace. Everybody say, whew. Just when you're a little too worldly, he gives you more grace.
Thank you, Lord.
The Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So just when you've thought that you've blown it one too many times, there's more grace. Just when you think you've sinned a little bit too much, there's a little bit more grace for you. So the sin and the shortcoming can never outweigh the grace of God.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that good news? See, God knows, he knows our frame, he knows our frailty, and so you got to trust him in this. Not so you can continue being worldly, but so when you're dirty, you trust him to clean you. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you.
Right.
Isn't that nice? Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you.
Yeah.
So that's part of hearing from God. You're going to have to draw near to him. You start learning how to draw near to God and start trusting that he's going to draw near to you, bam, you're going to start hearing him speak. You're going to start having something in your spirit that leaps for joy or for peace or gets comforted or gets a smile on it. You ever have felt your spirit smile?
Yeah.
A lot of times when your spirit smiles, your face will. Go ahead and practice it right now. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's where it starts going back south. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves on the side of the Lord and he'll lift you up. So, you know, every time we talk about grace and the blood of Jesus and righteousness by faith alone, it's not so people can stay in their ridiculous lifestyle. You're supposed to have a moment of sorrow, a moment of repentance, a moment of, you're right, let me humble myself in the sight of the Lord. What's supposed to happen when the Spirit of God shows you what's wrong or your own conscience says, red light, red light, red light, you're supposed to, humble myself. Not just turn my nose up and be snooty at Christians, don't judge me. Any Christian that does that has just blown it. That is not what a humble Christian does. A humble Christian says, sorry about that. You're right. Anybody that's honest with the Word of God and with their own conscience can say, you're right. Just that simple. I don't have to be embarrassed to say, you're right. Praise the Lord. They were like, I was hoping for some good hope for this year. This is it. This is hope for this year and next year. I'm going to do 2 years and then 3 years. This is good for every year until Jesus comes. Or did you want me to preach my New Beginnings message? I preached that last year. And the year before that. Did it work? No, I'm just kidding. I didn't, and I'm sure it would. Praise the Lord. Okay, so here we are. This passage here, you know, it tries to get you to address your heart. You know, the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So when it says you sinners, it's really not talking to Christians because we know that we're called saints. But when it says double-minded, you need to recognize where you're kind of being like a sinner, being like a heathen without a God. Where in our life do we kind of act like we don't even have a Heavenly Father? The way we think, the way we're not confident about stuff. Listen, we live in the house with the Heavenly Father. I mean, he knows all, he has all, he is all, he's the best of everything. He'll never let you fail, never let you fall. Why don't you go ask him in faith? Why don't you go believe him after he said some things to you? Why can't you run off happy? This passage here, when I was in my first church, I was just a little rookie Christian, just a little rookie spirit-filled, you know, kid, basically. I mean, a 27-year-old kid, but just a baby Christian. And but the fires of God was flowing through me, and I was on the soul winning team at church, and we were doing all sorts of stuff. And one of the guys had a connection to a radio station down in Lake Jackson. So four of us, he and his wife, and the two others of us went. We did this. I think we did it. Every other Saturday or something. And we'd show up at the radio station at like 6 a.m. in Lake Jackson. They'd give us 30 minutes to preach the gospel. And man, we just let it happen. We'd take turns, all four of us, just bam, 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 bam. And I got some of the recordings, and you know, if I listen to them now, it's like, oh my gosh, you sound like a little rookie Christian. You know how rookie Christians sound? But it was hilarious. But one of the first times we did it, I read this passage of scripture. And you know, it can come off quite harsh. And everybody that I was with in the studio, they're like, oh, Chaz, he's got double-minded, you know, he's going after the sinners. But this passage is very, very important for us. And so I remember reading it online, and we would have such a hoot knowing that the Holy Spirit did something. And then the calls would come in, and we'd be like, do we get any calls? And yeah, the so-and-so wanting prayer, so it was a big deal. I'll never forget it because this passage is what I read, all right? But I admit at the end, it does sort of get into you double-minded people and kind of gets down on people. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter and all of that. But we do need to address our heart. We do need to get pure because that's the first step in hearing from God. So just make some decisions. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and quiet down a little bit and hear from God. I admit, Lord, I humble myself. And it doesn't take long. You just do that, take you 10 seconds. Matter of fact, let's practice it right now. Say, Lord, I humble myself. I'm looking to you. I'm drawing near to you. Speak to me. Thank you. All right, praise the Lord. We're going to do that again in a minute. But that's what it's like. And all of a sudden, your spirit is ready. Remember when Samuel was a little boy serving the priest, serving Eli, and he went to bed and he heard Samuel. And he jumps up and he runs into Eli the priest's room. He says, Eli, what'd you called me? Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. He goes back to bed. He hears it again. Samuel. He runs back to Eli the priest. I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Third time, he comes back to Eli. He says, you called me? He said, I didn't call you. He said, next time you hear it, say, Lord, here am I. Speak to me. Speak to me. Your servant's ready to hear. He went back. He heard the voice again. And that's what he said to the Lord. He said, your servant hears. Speak to me. And then he gave him a promise for Israel. I'm about to do a new thing for Israel, that all the ears who hear it are going to, both ears are going to tingle. The point is, God's going to speak to us, and he's going to repeat. He'll repeat. If you're not listening, he'll repeat. Don't make him repeat 1,000 times. Get into a place where he can get your attention, and then allow him to speak. A lot of times that's how speaking, hearing from God starts. You have to recognize he's about to speak to me. You have to ask him, and then you have to stop for a moment and let him speak to you. Have you ever done that before? Here, for your servant is ready for you. Go ahead and speak to me. Your son is ready. Samuel wasn't a son. He could only say servant. I'm ready for you. Go ahead and talk to me, God. It's a personal, intimate moment with God. He's speaking. The question is, are we ready to hear him? So we got to stay clean, stay simple, stay uncluttered from the world. This is how you keep your heart in a place to hear from God. You know, you can't go through the day with all of these inputs. You can't have constant media hitting your mind and heart all day long and then be able to hear.
Amen.
You're going to have to turn something off at some point. How about all of it off for a great while? You're going to have to turn some stuff off in order to hear from God. Well, I can never hear from God. Well, you got the TV going 24 hours a day, and then when you get in your car, you got the other radio going, and then you even if it's just Christian music going, you're not going to be able to hear much from God. Occasionally, Christian music can help you get your mind in the right place, but not if it's 24 hours a day. You won't be able to hear from God. And so you're going to have to kind of shut off in order to hear from God. Quiet down. Quiet your soul. Only the quiet soul can really hear from God well. You know what that means? Quiet your soul. Chill out. Go sit by yourself. In the old day, you know, they took prayer closet really literally. Jesus said something about praying in your closet, so people took that really literally. Some of you still do, and that's perfectly okay. Maybe the closet is the only quiet place you have in the house. Oh, these days you have plenty of quiet places, right? You can go to the car, shut the door, turn the air on, make sure the garage door's up, please. Take a drive around the neighborhood.
Right.
Now you have your own little private box all over town. Turn the radio off. Drive quiet. This is the first service of the new year.
Right.
Are y'all excited about it? Hey, when you start hearing from God, it'll make your life. When you start hearing from God, it'll make your whole day. There's nothing better than hearing from God. Really, there's nothing better than feeling confident you can run off that you heard from God. You don't have to argue with anybody if you heard from God.
Right.
If you just heard from God and he said, why don't you love those people at work today? Boy, you can go and nothing affects you. Really, if you go to work knowing that God said, just love your enemies anyway, be really good to them, you can go to work and you won't have to have a bad day at work. Come to prayer, come to the altar, I'll have a bad day at work. Praise the Lord. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. Wait, did I say 1 John chapter 2?
Yes.
I take it back. I want to go to John 10. I want to go to John 10. John chapter 10. Let's move on to the next point. Number two in hearing from God is you need to have faith that it's God speaking to you. People get, you know, confused. It's like, was that me? Was that God? Was that the devil? And I understand the question, you know, because the way God talks to you is very familiar to you. Like the words you hear your own self say is kind of how you're going to hear God speak to you, because he's going to speak in your language. That's really how God does. He speaks in your language. He doesn't talk Elizabethan English to you, unless that's how you think. In the old day, the way God spoke to preachers and Christians was in Elizabethan English, because that's how they had learned of him. And so in their mind about God was all this. That's how he spoke to them. But now, most of us don't hear him in Elizabethan English, right? I have called thee, O child of mine. Well, that's a song. What's wrong with you people? But the way he speaks, it sounds kind of like you. We've had some people in church that have had dreams or visions or whatever, and the pastor appeared and spoke to them. Well, why is that? Why would God use a vision of a pastor or a leader, a preacher, speaking to somebody? Because they're familiar with that. They're familiar with it, and it can help people receive from the Lord. So that's how God does it. And then when you hear God's voice, it's going to sound kind of like you. If you have an accent, God might have an accent for you. If you have great grammar, what you hear from God will be in right grammar. But look here at verse 1, chapter 10 of John. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter through the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That means Jesus came the right way into this earth. The devil didn't. Demons didn't. Jesus came the right way. He came through the sheep door, came through a woman. Born of a woman was very important. Jesus had to be born of a woman to be the legal redeemer of mankind. Verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. All right, now get this picture. This is where we as the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd, once we learn his voice, we will never be led astray. Right. That's why it's so very important to learn your Bible and be only around the good preaching and teaching for a good season of your early childhood, spiritual childhood. Very similarly, this is how we train children. This is how parents train children. Though the best way to train children in the natural, is you show them all the right way. You keep them totally exempt from all the wrong ways of the world as long as you can. And so you're raising them up in a spiritual, healthy household that loves God, that serves the Lord Jesus, that learns the Bible and acts appropriately, keeps himself unspotted from the world. And you do this for your children, and you protect them as long as you can. Whether it's 7 years, 8 years, 12 years, 18 years, do the best you can. Then once they are on their own, they'll recognize, oh, I've never heard that voice before. It couldn't be God. I've never been led that way. That couldn't be God. Mom and Dad served God. They taught me right. And what you've said is contrary to everything I grew up with. That can't be right. So the voice of a stranger we won't follow let me just say it in tongues. Set apart. That's what I really want to say. We've been sanctified. And that's the way you and I have to live. So that's why Why don't you go for the next 3 months just sanctifying yourself, setting yourself apart from the world, from the world's way, the world's voice, the world's push, the world's cares, the world's worries, anxieties, the hatred, all of the, you know, all the problem. Look, Christians these days, you got to be careful not to look at the world and be just totally mad. You can't do that. You can't live a healthy Christian life mad at the rest of the world. You're supposed to love the world. God loves the world.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't like the evil.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He loves the whole world. God loves the whole world. Even today, he loves the whole world. Let's practice it. Say, I love the whole world. I love the whole wide world. Praise the Lord. Because the devil is a liar. He is going to try to sneak in and twist stuff up. You can't trust the devil. He's a liar. You can't trust him. He's never going to do what he says. He's always going to be contrary to God. Anything that you hear that doesn't line up with Scripture, anything you hear that doesn't resonate in your spirit, is from the devil. Just recognize it's from the devil. You can't trust the devil. Yeah, yesterday we were out throwing snowballs at each other, and it was fun, and I was a good target for everybody. And one of the young boys really had it out for me, and I had it out for him, and well, maybe four or five of them, we had it out for each other, and we were going after each other. And after a while, you know, it was all fun and games, and he comes over, and he gives me a hug, and he says, "Truce." And I said, "Yeah, truce, you know." And it was all fun. And then about 30 seconds later, water began to pour down the back of my shirt. And it was him squirting his water bottle. You know, little 8-year-old kid. You know, it was no big deal. And he runs off saying, "There will be no truce." I said, "That will preach somehow." The devil, that's just like the devil. Tell you, it's no big deal. Everything's okay. Just do this. It's just okay. Just accept me for a little bit. Just accept this one little thing. There's no truce with the devil. He's after everybody. And you better learn the shepherd's voice to avoid the devil. He's a thief. He's trying to steal from your life with little bitty lies. Like, that won't hurt too bad, and that's not going to be too bad, and you can cut that person off, and it don't matter. They did you wrong. You can do that. All these little lies that just rob you. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. Praise the Lord. What does it mean to flee from the devil? He's supposed to flee from you, but first you got to flee from him. It's almost like, you know, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. If you will flee from the devil, he'll flee from you. You're going to have to put some resistance up. You're going to have to, you know, you can't follow the devil around. Praise the Lord. All right, now we can go to 1 John chapter 2. You need a clean heart, yes, and you need a burden-free heart. We've taught this before that, you know, once you approach God, first of all, when you approach God, don't come in there with all of your bag of burdens. You drag in all these burdens and problems and worries and emotions, and you rehearse them for 30 minutes, and then it's like, "Well, that's my prayer, bye." Don't do that. Why don't you leave the burdens outside the door? Jesus said that. He said, when you enter your prayer closet, close the door. Leave your troubles out. Let's go talk to God freely without stuff all in between us and all this emotion stuff. Or if you have to, why don't you address the emotional stuff quickly by casting the big sack of burdens over to God? Cast your care to the Lord. Cast your burdens to the Lord. People say, well, I've done that many times. No, apparently you didn't. Cast them and then be done with it. If you actually gave your cares to the Lord, then he has them. Isn't that right? But people want to hang on to their cares so long that they can't even hear anything in prayer. There's no way to hear God in prayer if you're constantly hanging on to your cares. So God, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. Help me. I care so deeply about this. This is my care. This is my care right here. This is my kids and my money. And my kids and my money. And this is my grandkids and my money. And this is my family and everything important to me right here. In the name of Jesus, take care of it. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, I've been Oh, God, I'm casting my care to you. Oh, God. Year after year, month after month. See the problem here? Okay, so this is not prayer. What I'm doing is not prayer. What I'm doing is just getting God in on my worries. I'm just worrying out loud. Prayer is not supposed, what I'm supposed to do is let go. Wait. I don't have any cares.
Hallelujah.
That's good, Pastor. Yes.
And if I think about my cares, I think, oh yeah, he's got them.
Glory.
Thanks, God.
Glory.
It's still my care. It still may be a problem, but I don't have to carry it. I've truly now trusted God. I've truly cast my care to the Lord, for he cares for me. And I can even smile.
Thank you, glory.
I can smile.
Yeah.
I've cast my care. This is how we're supposed to be. So if I find myself with my care after I prayed, what I did was not pray. What I did was worry out loud. All I did was transfer. All I did was get God in on my worrying. Prayer is supposed to be a transference of my burden. Prayer is not for me to just keep my burden and talk about it all the time to God. Praise the Lord. Really, God has given us a substitute for worry, and it's called prayer. You're not supposed to have both. Or we can say the prayer of faith. He gave us a substitute for worry and anxiety. Prayer. So if you're worried today, go home and pray and then be done with it. All right. 1 John chapter 2. Are we there? 1 John is little John toward the end of the Bible. All right, so the third point, hearing from God. Obey the one thing you already know. Obey what you already know. When I say it like that, of course, there's tons of things that you know you're supposed to do and maybe you're not doing. I'm talking about the thing that you always see come up in your heart. The one thing that you always feel like maybe is in between you and God. The one thing that you know he told you to do that you haven't done. The one thing that you just can't get away from. And a lot of times what happens is we know God has spoken to us in the past or recently, and we try to skirt it. We're like, we want to go pray, and let's talk about other things, God. Yeah, I know I got to deal with that, but right now let's talk about the blessing. Right now I just need an answer to the thing over here. I just need you to do something for me, God, and then we'll go back and talk about the thing over here. And the reason you're not hearing is because a lot of times God will not keep talking if you have ignored the last thing. So this is, don't make this too complex in your life, like, oh my gosh, back in 1974, he told me not to eat the orange, and I ate the orange. Or something ridiculous, you know. Be careful of those things. Be careful of those things. But also, you can't run from the voice. You can't run from what you already know. He's like, he's trying to help you down the road of victory, of his divine plan for your life. And some of the steps he needs us to take require us to go back and get it right with him. Other times, once you repent, you don't have to go all the way back. I mean, sometimes you've lost 20 years. So we're not talking about going all the way back. We're talking about now at least go ahead and repent and admit, oh, yep, I do admit that. I admit that. Now what should I do? So we're not talking about, you know, retracing every step of your life or going backwards, because this is a new year, you're supposed to go forward. You're supposed to forget the past. But in forgetting the past, you need to go ahead and also admit, what has he already said that I know? It's still active. It's still current. What current things am I supposed to act on today? It could be address something in your life. We've said this many times. That you need to allow God to put his finger on your life. What in your life does he want to put his finger on? And say, oh, let's open up this can and let's talk about it. Let's open up this place of, I want you to commit here. I want you to make some changes here. I want you to start believing this. I want you to X, Y, Z. What has he already touched in your heart? What does he need from you right now? Maybe it's just a relational thing between he and you. Maybe he wants you to address some disappointment, some of your grief you've carried along that you really should have let go of. What is it that you need to go ahead and have a conversation with God about before moving on? God, please talk to me. Well, that might be it. Something that your conscience already knows is from God. 1 John chapter 2 says this. Now, this is the one page in the Bible that uses the word anointing, which is the word charisma, which is a smearing of the Holy Spirit, a presence, a touch of the Holy Spirit. This is the one page in the New Testament that talks about it as a noun. And it says it this way. 1 John 2 verse 20 says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have a smearing of the Holy One. You have a presence of the Holy One. It's talking about the Holy Spirit inside your spirit. The King James says unction. You have an unction from the Spirit, an anointing from the Spirit, and you know all things. So rather than go through life thinking, well, why won't God speak to me? If you're a Christian and you're born again, the Spirit has already contacted your spirit, and you know all things. Listen, if you can tap into that, you will never feel confused. If you tap into that, you can always feel assured by God on the things you're seeking from him. You have an anointing from the Holy One in your spirit, and you know all things. So we say it this way. People ask, well, I don't know what to do. You know. Well, I'm just not sure. You know. He said, you know all things. Why don't you believe that? Go ahead and say, okay, you're right, I do know. A lot of times people want advice, and sometimes it's right to say, you know what to do. They do know what to do. What they're trying is to skirt it. Well, let me share my plans with you and see if you can, give me a green light on the thing we all know is not from God. Okay, yeah, okay, do what you want. That's how it feels a lot of times. I know and you know, but your head don't know. I know and you know, but you're ignoring all the signs from heaven because you have a plan. You know what to do. You need to treat yourself that way. When you're looking for an answer and you're not sure left or right or A or B or whatever, you need to go ahead and treat yourself that way and say, you know what? I know. I know what to do. I know what's next. I know what big step, what little step. I know what needs to change. I know what God's really saying. I know where I'm at. It's a lot simpler than you make it sometimes. It's not about, oh God, let me hear those booming voices and angels singing to make a decision. No, he says, you know. You have a smearing from the Holy One already down in your spirit. You know. Spiritual people can do that. Hyper-spiritual flakes have to go, you know, see some far-out vision or dream a dream and get it interpreted. We're not against visions and dreams. God said he'd give those, but they're not to confuse or make things complex or make things sensational. Dreams and visions are for one purpose only. It's to solidify something in you, to show you, and so you'll never forget it because you saw an image with it. That's the quickest explanation. Let's not turn it into that's what spiritualism is. Being spiritual is highly, highly focused on the spirit of man.
Amen.
Who knows things. Who hears from God a different way than an outside picture. If God had to burn a bush every time he wanted to speak to us, that wouldn't be faith at all. Moses needed no faith to hear from God out of that burning bush. If God needed to burn a bush to talk to his people, there wouldn't be any bushes. No, I'm sorry, the bush didn't burn. There was fire, but the bush didn't burn. So there would still be bushes, and there would be a whole bunch of robots in earth. Okay, God, I'm going to the bush for you to talk to me. No, it's done by faith. It's done in your spirit, man. And so we have to get familiar with the way God speaks. It's not on the outside. Well, it was a blue sky and a sunny day, and I knew God was speaking to me. It's got to be better than that. It's just got to be better than that. But I saw it was a cloudy day, and I think I saw an image of an angel right there, and it was right when I was praying. Well, go see a Hollywood movie, and you'll see lots of stuff. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 27, skip to verse 27, but the anointing, charisma, which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as that same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So all of a sudden it takes the word anointing being a noun to a person. It's him. The Holy Spirit is in you. And because of him being in you, you know that you're going to have to let go of that. You know you're going to have to pick up that. You know you're going to have to commit to this. You know you're going to have to let go of last year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know. Remember Jesus said that to Philip. He said, where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Philip's like, oh, what do you mean? We don't know. We don't know nothing. He said, you know. See, as Christians, we really know. We're with the one who knows everything. So we know. We're going to have to be very honest with ourselves. Tap into our spirit, man. Be honest with the word of God. Stay real simple, plain, stable in our walk with the Lord Jesus. Yeah, he wants you to knock off some of the little attachments that we have in this life. He's real simple. He's not complex. God's quiet. He's got a deliberate plan. It doesn't look like what we see on media out there. It's different. You don't need a 16-page prophecy about 2022. You don't need all that. It's gonna confuse you anyway. You may hear something about next year for this church. Next week, Pastor Joni's going to preach. She may hear something from God as a prophet. She may have something for our local assembly. It may be for you personally. You may have something from God for you personally for this coming year. Let's not try to overcomplicate it, though. Don't get it so impossible to achieve or impossible to know if you did achieve it. But God doesn't do it quite like that. He's not confusing. Remember, the Bible says he's not the author of confusion. So when you hear things from God in prayer or in your Bible reading or from a prophet or a prophecy from anybody, See if you can grab it. See if you can catch it. See if you can latch on to it and run with it. That's what prophecy is for, so that you can run with it. And if you can't run with it, well, just let somebody else run with it. But God's going to be speaking. Maybe even these next 2 days more than normal. Why? Because we're seeking. Why? Because we're drawing near. So tonight and tomorrow night in prayer when we're here, just keep your spirit open. Be drawing near. Know that it's working. Know that you're drawing near and He's drawing near. Know that you're opening up your spirit man to God and He's going to speak to you. Let me have the band come on up here. Life gets grand whenever we know that God has spoken. Listen, there's nothing that will inflate you, delight you, make you smile than when you can run off knowing God has spoken. When I left my career, I told a couple people, and they looked at me like, are you sure, man, that you got to go into the ministry? What is that going to look like? I said, I have no idea. They said, are you going to be a clergy? I'm like, I don't think so. I don't know what that is. I didn't know anything about anything. But in my heart, I knew God had said it was time to leave. So I could tell my boss with a smile on my face. I told my dad with a smile on my face. And my dad's like, are you sure? Okay, I'll trust you. I told my uncle. He's like, are you sure? He said, you know, God needs good Christians that have jobs in church. I mean, but because I knew, I heard from God. I knew for sure. It was no question. There was no backtracking. There was no wishy-washy, no double-mindedness. There's nothing better. You can run with confidence. Go out in the battlefield, no problem. I'm going out on the battlefield. I heard from God. The problem is, don't go in the battlefield if you haven't heard from God. Don't make the decision if you haven't heard, or you'll be double-minded. You'll be looking back the whole time. We're going to hear from God. Is everybody ready? How many sheep do we have? Okay. A few of you. Not sheep of me, sheep of the Lord Jesus. Hold on, don't play for just a second. Don't play for just a second. Let's do just a quick practice, and then we're going to worship God a little bit longer and praise the Lord. But let's do it quiet for just a moment, okay? Some people have never heard God's voice. You're not sure what it would sound like if He did speak. So let's practice this. Say, just close your eyes and ask this to God. Under your breath or out loud, whatever. Say, God, do you love me? Okay, I would dare to say that most of you, if not all of you, heard Him say yes. Okay, that's partly how His voice sounds. If you heard no, that was the devil. How do you know it's the devil? Because it didn't line up with the Bible. You know from the Bible that God loves you, so you believe that by faith. And no other voice will you listen to. Amen. So if you have a bad self-image, if the devil's really beat you up, he'll say no. And you can say, aha, I caught you. Because he's a liar. Now close your eyes again and just let God speak other things maybe. Just open up if He has something to say to you. Praise the Lord. All right, well, that was just a little exercise in it. You can continue the conversation with Him later.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.